Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Lee, how are you?
I am so fired up because you know what? This Friday is Taste of Dunwoody.
Yes, this Friday's Taste of Dunwoody is sold out. We are going to have so much fun.
Well, tell me about some of the fun.
Well, I've got the menu items and I was reading them this morning and it just made my mouth water.
Can you forward it to me?
Oh,
or it's a surprise.
No, I'll forward it to you. All I have to say is come hungry.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Come now, hungry. Do they give you big portions or is it just like a little on a toothpick?
No, they give you a pretty big portion. You're not at Costco, Lee.
Look, I know. I've never been there. I just want to know what to expect.
No, and the neat thing is they all kind of try to outdo one another, so it gets pretty competitive. Some of them are bringing like 5 and 6 entrees, so
and
come
it's
hungry.
Free, right? I paid, and
you
now
paid
I'm 30, done paying.
Hey, you paid $35. You can eat all you want.
Man, I can't wait. When does it start? What time?
It starts at 7.
And I can get there at like 6 while they're preparing?
No, I won't be ready for you then.
Okay,
7
o'clock.
Come at 7. I'll see you there.
All right, deal.
We've got great guests this morning. We're very excited to have Phil Davis with us. You know, Lee, it's interesting. When you look at businesses these days, there are so many different components, and oftentimes people tend to outsource various departments, whether it's human resources or their CFO. They look to other alternative means to help supplement their organization. And Phil Davis is with us this morning from FlexHR. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Phil, are you an actual native to the area?
I am. I grew up in North Georgia in a little town called Cave Spring. I grew up my entire life there, went to school. My graduating class, the largest in history, had 33 people. Then I went off to the University of Georgia and got a couple of degrees there in psychology and business, and then went off into the business world.
And where were you in the business world? What was your first job?
I worked for General Electric. I went on their corporate human resource training program and basically was in 5 major businesses with them in a number of locations. As a matter of fact, my wife and I have owned 13 homes over the years and have moved quite a lot with corporate America. That's kind of why I decided to settle down and stay here in Atlanta because that's where my family is.
So GE hired you right out of college?
GE hired me right out of college.
Was it your psychology degree? Did that help?
I think the psychology degree combined with the MBA helped a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked with Frito-Lay over the years in Pitney Bowes.
Always in HR?
Always in HR. I spent a year in manufacturing one time doing first-line supervision.
A year, like an engineer. 1 week you spent a year in manufacturing?
Yes, right. I mean, I was actually an engineer for a while, and I can't draw a straight line, so that was a joke.
So that you were out there quickly, right?
That's right.
Wasn't a good fit.
Wasn't a good fit.
So it sounds like you've had a really exciting business career. What led you to FlexHR?
I think personal objectives combined with professional objectives. Personal objectives were my family is here. My 3 children live here. They come over and visit with us on Thursday nights every week, and we are a very close family. Also, from a personal standpoint, I mentioned I'd moved 13 times. We just got to the point where moving again and again and again was no longer an option that we wanted mm-hmm. to pursue. So I needed to build a business and have an opportunity where I could go to my clients
right.
on an airplane or in a car as opposed to having to move cities.
So the FlexHR is Flex for you too,
it's
as
Flex,
well as the client.
It's Flex for me too. FlexHR is a great company. We've been around since 2001. It was founded by Jim Schakansky, who's the president and CEO. We're headquartered in Duluth, Georgia. We currently have about 15 full-time partners on staff, of which I'm one, and 6 other employees who help do sales and administration for us. Each partner has 20-plus years of senior HR service.
Is that a requirement in order to become a partner?
It absolutely is. Our model depends on individual expertise and sharing that expertise with others. Lee.
Do you have times when you all get together and share best practices?
We absolutely do. We meet regularly once a month, and we talk about what's going on in our practices and in our clients and hear from typically someone who wants to tell us about their business. So we make it a 2-prong event so that we learn something from mm-hmm. others and they have an opportunity to learn about us.
That sounds interesting. Tell us about some of your clients. Do you have a specialty?
I work in organization effectiveness for Kimberly-Clark right now up in Wisconsin. I've been doing that a little over a year. I am the head of the HR compensation practice for FlexHR. I've done quite a bit of compensation over the years. So organization development and compensation are 2 key areas, especially for me. Plus, I'm a broad HR generalist for many years. I've been the head of HR for 20 years at various companies and organizations. So just a lot of generalist HR.
Can you talk about like how you would do the compensation, like how a company would engage you, and like how is it do you talk about exactly like, oh, that position has a value of X based on the market? Like, how do you do that?
We can do that. People are always concerned, am I paying too much or not enough for my employees?
Right.
Do I have turnover because I'm not playing enough? Am I not able to recruit the right people? So there are compensation surveys, they're called. You've got to know something about the company. You've got to know something about the job, so we have to do some analysis up front. And then we will go out and look at the surveys. We may do specific calls to specific like companies to find out.
And they share that information?
They do on the basis of we share ours with them.
Uh-huh.
So it's always a two-way street.
So that's the key, is that everybody wants to know what everybody else is paying.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's a little bit of collusion.
A little bit of collusion from the standpoint that if you got the information, you can make a better decision.
Right.
Obviously, you can't dictate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. How did the larger companies deal with like these startups who pay less, obviously, but they give them like equity? What are different strategies to?
I think for the most part they wish them well, because about 70% of employment in this country comes from small employers, people with less than 100 employees, and that economy that they generate, mm-hmm. that 70%, creates the economy on which the large companies survive.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think there's any animosity between large and small business. I think they view themselves as mutually reinforcing one another.
So what are some of the most common concerns of employers when they would inquire about your services? What are some of their big concerns?
We talk about three major issues that people come to us with. Number one is, if you got a pain, we got a solution in the HR space. Not hiring and retaining the right employees. That's huge. No company can long endure or perform well unless they have the right people on board. Setting up the systems to do that, making sure the compensation is right, all the subsets of that are extremely important. In some cases, employers say, I just can't get the productivity and commitment out of my employees. Well, have you set your system up for success?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the right kind of things?
How much of your time is spent on training the employees, or is it a situation where it's better to hire the right person rather than to train the wrong person?
I personally spend some time on training, but that's not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what will be most competitive for you. If you've got a very highly specialized environment, you're often better to hire your people and train them yourself. You're going to have probably a little more turnover like that, but you're going to have exactly what you want. If you've got a standard sales environment or a standard marketing environment, if you're packaged goods marketing, odds are you can do packaged goods marketing. Mm-hmm. If you're an IT company and have Oracle technology,
you can plug and play.
So everything in business, like everything in life, depends, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what the circumstances are. And who needs to know what and what they can afford to pay.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about Employee Universe.
Employee Universe, we're very excited about. We started that back in 2006 and has really grown as a very substantial portion of our business, in that we provide HR administrative outsourcing for clients. We make sure that anyone who's got one or more employees has to have some kind of HR infrastructure. You got to hire people. You got to maintain employment relationships, payroll, benefits, et cetera, and you got to outboard people. So having a system in place that can do that, we do it virtually. We do it at a distance. We maintain all the personnel files. We run all the payrolls. We do all the benefits. We have a self-service center online that people can go to and get the most frequently asked mm-hmm. questions answered, or we can talk to a human being
right.
and answer the questions that way.
And so it's like a HR in a box for a company?
Absolutely. It is like HR in a box to get you out of the gate. We know that small business people, and our system in terms of HR administrative outsourcing can fit any size employer.
Mm-hmm.
But our system for small employers is particularly advantageous because it is
turnkey,
absolutely. And we can bring big company expertise in without some of the complications that you get if you have other kinds of options like PEOs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. I know there are similar organizations that have similar offerings to you, but can you elaborate a little bit more on PEOs and how FlexHire might relate?
Yeah, PEO stands for Professional Employment Organization, and it's basically a concept where I employ you, your employees for benefits and those kind of things so I can aggregate the numbers and get better pricing.
So like in my company, if I have a company, then they're actually employees of your company in order to get kind of the economy of scale.
That's right. That's where the rub starts to come in. Mm-hmm. And they're also the employer's employees, obviously. There were a lot of projected benefits of doing PEO. It was a growth industry in the 90s. But since 2000, some of the complications have really started to build. Often PEOs sell clients services they don't use. Okay, mm-hmm. And we pride ourselves on only selling what people use.
Right, so that's going back to the flex part.
Exactly, going back to the flex part. And when an issue comes up, we're only on the side of the employer. We are...
Your advocate of the employer.
We look at it from the employee's perspective in terms of setting up the systems.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that you're able to attract and retain the best employees and that people are treated fairly and all those kind of things. But if something goes wrong, our job is to limit the liability and expense of the employer.
Right.
Got it. What else is FlexShop? What else makes you different? What are some of the other things that FlexHR does?
Our model is very unique in the industry in that we use only senior HR executives. We don't do consulting in a standpoint of just going out and doing handbooks. I mean, we'll do that. But our model is to be the head of HR, director of VP.
Like C-level.
C-level person. Right. For any size company, up to about 1,000 employees is our sweet spot.
Because once they get beyond that, then they would have their own?
Once you get to a certain size, we call it graduating. Okay, mm-hmm. We like to start off with an employer when we are the HR department, and then mm-hmm. eventually we may add somebody to help with the employer relations because you got 100 to 200 people on one side. And then eventually we may hire a director. Mm-hmm. And eventually when you get large enough, we'll help you hire the VP. And at that point, we'll be on the comp committee. We'll be doing periodic audits.
Right. So you're always going to be there in an advisory standpoint.
Advisory capacity.
Right.
So when you need us as the head of HR, we're there as the head of HR. When you need us as the advisor, we're there mm-hmm. as the advisor.
Sure.
When you need to process that paper and get the payroll mm-hmm. out, we do that too.
Right. What's the most personally challenging thing that you have in your career?
You know, I think there are probably two things that have been really challenging for me. Number one is when I worked at GE in Massachusetts, I worked for GE Plastics. And we acquired BorgWarner Chemical. It was the largest acquisition in GE's history. And at the time, we had thousands of employees out there, and I was responsible for the sales organization. And in an industry, when the salespeople leave, they take the business with them most of the time.
Right.
So we had an imperative to really do that consolidation and make that one business very, very quickly. And in 90 days, we took the corporate jets of GE, we took all the commercial airliners, we flew people all over the place, we did the interviews and selection. The bottom line was we got it done in 90 days, retained literally everybody we wanted to retain and grew our business in the process beyond where BorgWarner had theirs. So that was a real
big
success.
That's a great success story.
Yeah, that is. That's a great success story. How many years in the industry?
About 30 years for me.
Wow. That's a lot of experience. Tim?
Well, you want to give him his contact information?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that? Mike, give them or Phil,
yeah,
give
Phil,
them
why
your,
don't you give them the best way to reach you?
Yes, the best way to reach me is by email at pdavis@flexhr.com.
That's flexhr.com is a website.
Is a website also, www.flexhr.com, FLEXHR, and my bio is on there naturally.
Great.
And my phone number is 678-977-5578, 678-977-5578.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, if you're looking for resources in the HR department, you definitely want to contact Phil. And if you're challenged with numbers and how to run your business and you need a CFO but maybe can't afford one or can't afford to bring one on full time, we have someone with us today from the B2B CFO, Timothy McClellan. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you very much.
So tell us, how did you get involved with B2B CFO?
Well, like a lot of individuals, I spent, 20-plus years in corporate America, and, towards the end of my career, I mean, that's when Enron and things like that were happening, and, accounting got to be a lot of compliance, and really the fun came out of the accounting side of the business. You found out you were doing...
Well, what exactly is the fun in the accounting?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Well, I don't know. Maybe accountants can only describe it as fun, but the fun is essentially helping business owners understand their numbers and really using their numbers as a financial roadmap.
So when you give advice and you see them succeed based on your advice, that's the fun for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, translating the numbers into something they can understand. I mean, any accountant can print reams and reams of reports and spreadsheets, but really it's only the good accountants who can translate that to the sales side of the business and the operational side and really give it meaning.
So a lot of companies don't have the resources to actually have a CFO on staff. What kind of time do you spend with a client, or does it vary?
Yeah, it varies. It depends on two things. I mean, number one, the size and the business complications of the specific client, and on top of that, just what is the revenues of the client, and what do they need? Like, what are they? A stable company? Are they in high growth mode, et cetera?
Can you give us an example?
Sure. I have a client that I started working with about a year ago, and his situation is he was buying a standalone manufacturing operation. It was about a $15 million in sales business from a huge company, a company that overall had a couple billion dollars in sales. And so naturally, most of the back office function of his operation, meaning accounting, HR, employee benefits, was all managed centrally off-site by the major corporation. So he had run the business for 12 years, so he knew the business in and out, but yet he had no back office support.
Mm-hmm, right. He just wasn't involved in that, right? It was being done somewhere else.
It was being done somewhere else, and he never had to worry about it.
Right, and now he had to start worrying about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he hired me to basically set up the complete back office function, mm-hmm. to get a software system, work on setting up payroll and benefit plans, setting up general insurance for the business, mm-hmm. setting up computer network, and that's really he was able to. And in any business, certainly just the negotiation of a sale or to buy or sell a company is pretty physically taxing, so he had to do that, number one, and number two, keep the business going. So it was good that he could offload all that back office function onto me.
Well, that sounds like you're more of a business advisor than just like an accountant.
Well, I lead with accounting, but I've been, I've worked for several companies through the last 27 years, and a lot of the administrative side of the business runs through accounting. So mm-hmm. it's really B2B CFO is all about offloading the administrative side of the business so that the business owner can continue to do what they're good at, whether it's sales or invent new products or product design. It's to keep them out in the field, to keep them out of the office, and also allow them to take vacations.
Yeah, vacations are important.
Yeah, I mean, some businesses, the owner, everything is in the owner's head, and there's mm-hmm. no systems or anything in the business, so he finds he's got to be there 10 or 12 hours a day.
Right,
52 weeks, 50 weeks a year, and the 2 weeks he's not there, he's on the cell phone to his business 6 hours a day.
So you might help a company, like, short-term or long-term?
Both, but the design is more long term, and certainly to help the company grow. Mm-hmm. So, at the beginning, it could be as few as four hours a month, and can evolve into a day or two a week.
Okay.
Over the longer time, but certainly the overall objective is to get the company big enough where they can afford to and they need to hire a full-time CFO, and then I would exit that company and start all over with another company.
Now, do you prefer, do you ever work with a startup, somebody who just has an idea and is looking to put together a team in order to get it going?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, right now my business is probably split 50% with startups and 50% with established companies.
Do you have a preference?
Because
they're totally different animals. I mean, one, has a certain energy and one's more stable and kind of in a growth.
No, I don't really have a preference. I mean, the growth companies, they're really exciting because there's always, well, they're exciting and they're frustrating at the same time because there's always more money, or I'm sorry, there's always
less money.
Ideas. There's always much more ideas, many more ideas
than money.
Than there are money to get them going. So.
Why is that always such a problem, you know?
It's the yin and the yang of
all
life.
All the ideas
there.
And not having the money.
And that's really any company. I mean, if I, you know, meet with a business owner, his sales are $5 million, and he says, you know, Tim, my goal is to make him $10 million by the end of the year. It's not that easy. I mean, that doesn't just mean he has to knock on more doors and do more promotion and advertising. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has to be able to physically support that growth through increased dollars into his business, his or her business.
Right. You have to build an infrastructure that can handle $10 million in sales as well.
So being in and out of so many different companies, I would imagine you can share best practices within other organizations. Tell us how that works. I mean, do you just gather the best of the best and that's what you're able to offer?
Absolutely. I mean, in, you know, my 27 years, I've seen, you know, seen the right way to do things. And I don't know, maybe a lot of business to me, it's kind of like football, and the team that has the fewest turnovers tends to win the battle in business. So in other words, whoever makes the fewest mistakes in business tends to come out ahead. So sometimes it's not sharing the best practices, it's saying, oh no, you don't want to do that. It's avoiding
the
worst practice.
Getting the fundamentals right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what you see? Like, what is a common problem that entrepreneurs, when you're working with a startup, what are some things that right away you can come in and go, look, these are the fundamentals?
Well, the owners, and especially the entrepreneurial mind, I mean, they've got 10,000 things in their head. And what I try and do is, just from the accounting and growth of the business, is to give them four or five things they need to consider from the, you know, in the accounting and financial side of their business, just to simplify that so that their thoughts aren't going round and round.
So what are those four big rocks that a startup should be looking at?
Well, they certainly need to have financial statements and a financial system. I mean, that's a roadmap to really measure where they are. It's like a pilot flying a plane. If there's no, if there's no indicators, then you don't really know where you're going.
Right.
Secondly, you need a plan and projections to know where you're gonna end up. Also, I work closely with lenders and bankers, and you know, cash is the lifeblood of the business. And usually, you've got a banker or some other kind of finance company involved in your business, and they're the last people you want to surprise. I mean, you want to keep them.
I bet.
Is that one of your priorities? Is to get cash flow going as quickly as possible?
Absolutely. I mean, without cash, I mean, you can't pay payroll. You can't.
Right.
You can't buy products to sell. So
Phil and Tim, I have a question for both of you. You know, you've been in the business world a long time. What are some of the changes you've seen maybe over the last 15 or 20 years just in the business world?
Or just say, like, from the terms of the internet now.
Is technology,
how has that affected
changed
your businesses?
Well, technology has been a huge change. I mean, first of all, it makes a lot of businesses totally virtual. So, you know, sometimes you don't know, and I think you need to know whether you're dealing with an actual brick-and-mortar company or whether you're dealing with a virtual business.
Right.
And just the quicker exchange of information and the
sure.
just the demands of, you know, it used to be, you know, a week for an answer to a question was fine, and now it's, you get an email and everybody assumes it's going to your BlackBerry and you want an answer within an hour.
It's a lot faster now. What do you think, Phil?
People expect you to be available 24/7, that's for sure. The other thing is, in terms of recruiting, almost everybody who is thinking about getting a new job these days, or everyone who's looking for new employees, will use the internet in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Monster, Career Builder, all those are common names now. Also, there's a lot of software as a service kind of things going on, where what's called human resource information systems can be online. That's one of the things that has enabled FlexHR's employee universe is the fact that we can, at a distance, manage all the relationships that go into managing employees.
Right, and you don't have to be there.
You don't have to be there. Couldn't do that 20 years ago. Now it's like,
now it happens all the time. Now, Tim, is that the same for you? I mean, there's a million accounting softwares now, and people are becoming more familiar and comfortable with them. How does B2B CFO deal with those kind of things?
Well, even though they're, you know, as you say, a million accounting softwares, I mean, they all have a 80 to 85% commonality. And, you know, as long as I can function within that 80 to 85% commonality, I can add value.
Do you guys recommend a certain one, or does it matter?
No. I mean, since my clients are in, you know, very diverse industries, it really
depends
industry by industry. You know, there's a lot of the startup companies, I mean, use QuickBooks, it seems.
Right.
Almost 80% of the companies do, and that's, you know, that's fine till you get to a certain level.
Uh-huh. So, Lee, you know, there's only a few things that excite me more than Kenny Rogers.
QuickBooks is one, right?
QuickBooks is one. By the way, Kenny had knee surgery. But to wrap this all up, I do want to ask both of you, you know, you've been in the business world a long time, and I'm sure you've seen a lot, but Phil, what's the number one thing your mama taught you?
Mama taught me that being honest and doing a good day's work for a good day's dollar is a very important thing.
That's good. What about you, Tim? Am I putting you on the spot?
No, but Phil kind of stole my fire. I mean, that's what I'd say, too. I mean, just be always honest and ethical in your dealings and just do what you say you're going to do. I mean, if someone asks you a question and you can't do it, just say it can't. Say it can't be done.
Yeah. Under promise, over deliver. Right?
We like that. We like that motto at the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Both of you, thank you
so much.
Let's get
Tim's
we need to get Tim's contact information. I am a little jumpy today.
I know,
maybe too much coffee and chocolate, you think?
I think. So, Tim, what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
You can contact me via our website, which is B2BCFO.
And that's the number 2.
Yeah, and that's the number 2. Also, email is T. McClellan. That's TMCLELLAN at B2BCFO.com. Or my phone, 404-915-5539. That's 404-915-5539.
Awesome. Lee, nice. Any final thoughts?
I'm overwhelmed, but now we know where to go to outsource some resources.
Yes, and I'm definitely not an expert in either of those fields, and I've learned a lot this morning. Thank you both very much for being with us. And I'm Amy Otto, and Lee, I will look forward to seeing you on Friday.
That's right, with my big bib. Right.
Yeah, your bib and your appetite. And
I have to bring my own forks?
No, not unless you have special ones like the Swiss Army knife version or anything.
Can't wait.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.